We'd like to welcome all of you to the Huntsville Bible Students Convention. And this year's theme text is Jude 21. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Our opening hymn number is number 95, More Christ-like. And on the last verse, Remain Standing. And Brother Jim Cochran will open us in prayer.
Eternal God, our Father, we come before Thy throne so thankful, Father, that we have an opportunity to come into Thy presence, to come before Thee to give glory and honor and praise to Thy name. And may we be more Christ-like as the sentiments of this hymn, that we might be able to walk more fully upright before You and before our Heavenly Father and before Jesus Christ, that we can walk in His footsteps and that we can be able to endure and to overcome and be faithful unto the end. We thank You, Father, for Your plan of salvation. We thank You for the work that's being done throughout this earth. We pray, Father, that we can all be a part of it and be a witness, Father, to the things that are happening in this earth today and to the kingdom of God that's going to be established. We thank You for all these things, Father. We ask now Your guidance and direction upon this service. Bless Brother Michael as he ministers to us. We thank You for the opportunity to come together in convention. Bless each and every one that's here. And may we all be faithful to do Thy will in all things. So we give You the praise and the honor through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jim. We're glad tonight to have Brother Michael Balco from Florida. He's been an inspiration to me. He's a good speaker. And his theme topic tonight is Trees of Righteousness. Brother Michael.
Thank you, brethren. And dear ones, certainly it's a privilege to be here with you this evening. Sister Vicki and I are both blessed and privileged that we have this opportunity of being at this Huntsville Convention and are looking forward to a season of fellowship and sitting at the feet of Jesus to learn more of His Word. wanted to bring the love of your brethren in Orlando who voted several times in the past week to have their love conveyed to dear ones here. And we had special love from Sister Jeanette Kwiatkowski, Sister Vicky's mother, and several other individual brethren, like the Bleachers, sent their love. And Brother Leonard Wessel, of course, who is still recuperating from his heart bypass surgery. He's doing very well. He's been coming out to, I don't think he's missed a meeting in the last several weeks. So he's getting stronger each day. And by the Lord's will, we'll continue to be an example of strength and encouragement to us. Also, I want to bring the love of my parents, Mike and Marge Balko, who are on a five-week pilgrim trip to Moldova, Romania, and the Ukraine. And so they were here in Huntsville before, so please remember them in prayer. And they sent their love via email the other day. So, and also, I wanted to say that we're enjoying this beautiful painting and thank the one who made that possible. Well, dear brethren, tonight we thought we'd speak of a topic because we were looking for a topic in the last several weeks. We were thinking about an example of strength and encouragement that we could have to start off this convention. And I couldn't think of a better one at this time than the subject of trees of righteousness. Because as we realize, trees are in daily use in our lives. We view them. We travel amongst them. We hike amongst them. We drive through the groves of trees. And man has always marveled and taken even shelter under trees. And they've been a source of strength and encouragement to us. And we wanted to use as our theme text Isaiah 61:3. And this text reads, "To appoint unto them in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And right away from that scripture, we see that everything we do in our lives is to bring praise and glory and honor to the Heavenly Father. Not to self, because we vow to consecration, vow to give up self and selfish interest, to serve the Heavenly Father's cause and make His cause our cause and to learn more of Him. So we are planted by the Lord and also then we're watered and nourished, as we can see. That's the illustration of the tree. So trees of righteousness. And really it refers to the footstep followers of the Lord. Because they have been indeed planted in the character likeness of the dear Son. And they want to grow and develop in a way pleasing to the Father. We say that phrase in our prayers, in our meditations. And again, it is really a pattern for our lives. To grow, to develop, and to please the Heavenly Father come what may. And so, we want to please Him and really be watered and nourished from the Heavenly Father. We know that we go out seeking and putting out our roots in the world, we're not going to get strength and nourishment from that. But we're only going to get it if we're dwelling close to the Lord and have that attitude that we want to be nourished, and then we want to use that nourishment for ways of seeking after praise and glory to the Heavenly Father. And also, realize that if we are planted and watered and nourished in the proper way, the other end of the illustration, that we're going to be able to withstand the winds and the trials and circumstances that come our way. The trials, the periods of drought, the periods of flood. Again, the winds. We've had it illustrated even this week. I've had a tree that I've kind of been trying to get taken down. It's about 150 feet tall. From my neighbor's yard, of course, over to my house. I'm kind of worried about it. And we're trying to see the proper way to get it. So that tree seems so strong, but when a sudden wind can come, we can see thousands of trees were blown down in the last few days that were seen strong. And so, again, nourished, prepared, and not seemingly strong in the Lord, but actually strong. For with Him, we can be more than conquerors. We can be more than overcomers. And we can be granted to sit with Him in His throne. There's an expression that is made in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, living epistles known and read of all men. Your life is being looked at. Although the call of the church, the selection of the church, the polishing, shaping, chiseling process is going on really unknown to the world of mankind. They're not caring about that. One day, you will help mankind up the highway of holiness. And your life will be an example because you have fought that good fight of faith and have received your crown. As we look to the scriptures, there are many references to trees, dear brethren, that are used in the scriptures. Trees were used for types and kings of men and wealth and power. Nebuchadnezzar's dream about a tree growing in the midst of the earth, whose height reached to heaven, was a picture of his own self. And in Psalm 37:35, I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree, or a green tree growing in his own soil. In his own soil. Again, that wasn't pleasing to Heavenly Father. Because we realize to be growing in your own soil is something that God doesn't like. It's pride. And he wants us to rid ourselves of that. And also there's some other types mentioned in the Bible. The almond tree in Numbers. Apple tree in Psalm 14:8. That's one of my favorites because as a child up in Pennsylvania, every fall, October, November, we'd go out and gather apples. And my mother would make applesauce and so forth. It's a good memory that I had. And I still have it because those were good family times when you could share those experiences and really something good came out of that because you had a product, something that you could use in the winter months. And also the glory of Lebanon, the cedars, the cedar tree, an evergreen. It's a symbol of everlasting life. And see how the Heavenly Father has picked things that man can understand, the evergreen, everlasting life, vitality, green, refreshment, life, vitality again. And the promise of restitution to all the families of the earth. And also that oak tree, the one I'm battling with in my own daily experiences, strong, spreading its branches out and growing quickly. Remember also the oil, which represents the Holy Spirit, coming from the olive tree. This Holy Spirit of the truth. And that's also an example of the two olive trees from which the oil proceeds. It refers to the Old and New Testament scriptures, which are God's two witnesses. 2 Peter 1:4. God's two witnesses, these two olive trees. And in Revelation 21:1-6, it really talks about the exceeding great and precious promises of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for example, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, and the end of that is, and wanting nothing, because he's satisfied, because he's dwelling close to God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 brings that out. Also, there's one that I remember my grandmother teaching us. We had a large family. My father had 9 brothers and sisters, and all the grandchildren would gather on weekends at the family home. And my grandmother would tell Bible stories. One, of course, was Zacchaeus, who climbed up in that sycamore tree. He wanted to see the Lord. He was a small stature man, so the crowd was there. He couldn't see them. He climbed up. And the Lord, of course, perceiving all things, he noticed him, and he called him to come down. And because of his zeal and his enthusiasm, he was rewarded. The Lord went to his house to visit him. This man who was of high stature as a person in wealth, but a small stature in physical appearance. It reminds you also, not many wise after the flesh, not many noble are called. For what happens to those wise and noble things? They confound the wise. It's a simple truth. That as a tree of righteousness, you're able to reach out through your roots and you can draw nourishment and refreshment from these things. And that's the perilous time in which we're living. We need that every day. Isn't that why you came to this convention? You were drawn to the source. You knew that you were going to have good fellowship. You knew that you were going to see the Lord's people. And you could be built up and revitalized to go on when you leave this convention and store up that nourishment with you. And it's a good picture of the tree because we know in the wintertime, it doesn't happen in Florida so much, but where I lived up north, of course, the trees would lose their leaves and the maple trees, their sap would pull down in the roots. And in the springtime, it would flow out and they would tap the trees and we'd have maple syrup. And so we see that they reserve that for the hard times. And when spring came, they could put forth their fruit. The leaves would again appear. We know that that is also a picture of the glorious resurrection of the dead, when all who sleep in the dust of the earth shall arise and have an opportunity for life on earth everlasting. There's also scriptures that refer to the parable that our Lord gave. And of course, it refers to the nation of Israel. So a parable using trees. Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they shall now shoot forth, ye shall see and know of yourselves that summer is now nigh at hand. And just this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. Again, as we were living in the woods area and we saw those tree farmers tapping those trees, we knew that spring was coming soon. So summer was nigh when you see the fig tree and all the trees bringing forth, shooting forth. This generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. And of course, we know that the nation of Israel is in existence, the Balfour Declaration, the regathering of the people. And many countries also, there are more countries in the world today than ever before. The time in which we're living. The nation of Israel. Of course, the fig tree puts forth its fruit and then the leaves appear. And so this rich foliage, though, is a picture that appears of God's favor that covers Israel. And then we know it's manifested to all, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And all will then be ripe and ready for the work of blessing and feeding and healing the nations. And isn't that what mankind wants today? They cry, peace, peace, there is no peace. They seek cures, there's no cure. We're reaching out to space now to try to find cures for things. It's not there. The answer's not there. It's in the holy word of God. And it's spoken of by all the mouths of all the holy prophets since the world began, it says in the scriptures. And it's made possible by the giving of that life. Our Lord Jesus Christ died on a tree. He was nailed to the cross. He was willing to lay down his life to redeem the world of mankind from sin and death. And he gave us this wonderful example of the trees that we should learn about and study on and draw good lessons from them. Of course, we all know that, you know, I'm speaking from a podium here that's made out of wood. You know, that's what trees are used for, not only for fuel, but in shelter. It's wood. The oil that we mentioned about, the olive oil. Even today, with all the advances in technology, wood continues to be a highly prized item. How many log trucks we saw going down the road? Of course, they were going to make paper and so forth. But we saw trucks with plywood and building materials, 2x4s. I had an aunt that sold a black cherry tree, $4,000 for a black cherry tree. So is wood valued? I guess it still is. The mahoganies, the walnuts, even oak for its strength. These are prized possessions. Teak wood. And also our father used wood because he instructed Noah, as we remember, to build this ark out of wood. Teba. And he gave the exact specifications of how to build it. And really, so were the exact specifications in the Ark of the Covenant. So God told Moses to have it built out of shittim wood and then covered with gold, a symbol of purity, a symbol of divine character in this Ark, where God would commune through the priests to the nation of Israel above the mercy seat between the two cherubims which were on the Ark. And so we see a beautiful arrangement the Heavenly Father used in dealing with His people. And briefly, we'll go back to some other scriptures that are mentioned that have to do with trees and wood and the uses thereof. Of course, we're going to start with Genesis 2:9. Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. And good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the pastor, of course, writes that there were trees of life, many like a grove. One of which they were forbidden to eat. It's brought out in volume 1, page 209. A literal tree. Partaking of the trees would have given them life-sustaining nourishment forever. But God said in Genesis 2:16 and 17, He said to man, of every tree in the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge, of course, of good and evil, when thou eatest thereof, in that day thou shalt surely die. Of course, they ate from that tree. And the penalty of sin and death was placed upon the Adamic race. And God said, behold, man has become one of us to know good and evil, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and live forever. And a flaming sword was then used to ban them away, placed with cherubims to keep the way of the tree of life, it says in Genesis 3:24. Deuteronomy 20:19 tells us the tree is man's life. Proverbs 3:18, wisdom, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. That retaineth the wisdom. Not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom from above. You know, it's peaceable, it's pure, it's easy to be entreated. We need God's help and encouragement. He's always there to provide it for you. It's just a beautiful picture of His loving kindness and providential care over you in all aspects of your life. And also in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You spread the glad tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. Sometimes I was talking to a brother earlier, gave a witness, but they got one interested one. But think how his life has changed. He has eyes of understanding have been opened. He sees the plan of the ages. And he's developing the fruits and grace of the Holy Spirit. And so we go on and we plant these seeds in our own life of hope and encouragement. The groaning human family through our witnessing effort, through our words of hope and consolation to those who grieve or loss of loved ones, in every way we can. Revelation 2:7 tells us, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, that him that overcometh will I give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You know, this glorious heavenly position that is in reserve for those that truly love God and are called according to His purpose and have dedicated their life to Him and have grown sturdy as the tree of righteousness in this world with all of its problems and trials and circumstances that are more than we could bear if we were not under the shadow of His wing. For it says in Revelation 22:1-2, He showed me a river, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 fruits, and yielded the fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And truly, the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His wings or in His beams, and He takes care of all the world's problems. But each one called here, one chosen here, planted together in His likeness, were raised to glory, honor, and immortality, and make it possible for the world of mankind to know Him and call Him Father, and also to be a tree, an obedient tree. And that's really what Heavenly Father has wanted. He's wanted mankind to love Him and be obedient. And one day, soon, mankind will have that stony heart turned to a heart of flesh and have compassion and love and true understanding for his fellow man and love for God. For blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate of the city. That's Revelation 22:14. So they have to approach the Heavenly Father in a proper way. And all through the Scriptures, there have been penalties or chastisements associated with the improper use of trees or wood. And, of course, blessings and privileges with the proper use of trees and wood. Deuteronomy 20:19-20. Even when they were besieging a city, the children of Israel told this, when you besiege a city for a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof, for thou mayest eat of them. For the tree of the field is man's life. Again, only the trees which thou knowest are not for meat, thou shalt destroy. Deuteronomy 16:21. Thou shalt not plant a tree, thee a grove of trees near the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee, nor set up any image in that midst of that grove. Of course, this had to be said to the children of Israel, because what did they do? They were so zealous, and after a while, they got passive again. They allowed false shrines to be built, groves. We passed one up here. I looked at the brochure. It was a grotto to the Blessed Holy Mother of Earth or something. That's a pagan symbol. Raising her up to the level even higher than our Lord is not a pleasing thing to the Heavenly Father. But these things were allowed to happen also in this time in which we're talking about. And Israel got caught up in this. Their false gods dwelt in temples on the highest places on the hillsides. 2 Kings 8:6 and 2 Kings 17:10. And they set up images in groves, and every high hill and every green tree was planted there. And the others were cut down so they would stand out. But a good thing happened. Hezekiah, the king of Judah, would remove these high places. He broke the image and cut down the groves, and even would break into pieces the brazen serpent. The serpent, really. So we see that these things were done in a way to please the Heavenly Father. It kind of sounds again like a page from our headlines today. Wickedness abounds. Every perverse and I call them unusual things, even in my short lifetime, that you never thought would come to the forefront, they're there. And they confront you in your daily life. And you have to take a stand for the cause of truth and righteousness. We have to do that. We want to do that. Because Job tells us in Job 24:20, wickedness shall be broken as the tree. Everything that stands in the way of God's plans and purposes from being carried out will be done away with. Ground up to dust and blown away in those winds that are spoken of in the scriptures. There's also a circumstance in Haggai that's mentioned. We know this is, again, the nation of Israel was returning after 15 years of Babylonian captivity. And the temple was in ruins. They had amassed the materials to rebuild the temple. What did they do with it? They built themselves nice homes. They used the stone. They used the wood. They left the temple neglected. They started the foundation, but then they left it. They neglected this important work of rebuilding the temple and in turn serving God better. Haggai 1:8. But go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And eventually, they turn away from the seeking of self and selfish interests, building comfortable places for themselves. And they rebuilt the temple. Not in the grandeur that it was once built, because a lot of the elaborate carvings, and there were cherubims and seraphims, and there were olive trees carved, and those were all covered with gold. Even the pillars like we have coming up here and across, that was gold. And the ceiling that was made out of wood was covered with gold. Everything was covered with gold. What a wonderful temple that was built. And of course, it's a picture of that holy temple of God that is constructed, and that then all the world of mankind passes through it to a life on earth and peace and safety forever. But what is the lesson for us? The lesson, of course, partially has to do with, brethren, are we living close to God? Are we seeking ways to serve Him? Do we appreciate the study helps that we have and the opportunities for study and service that we can render? Are we rendering our all to the Lord? Now, what are his benefits toward me? I'll even know every time of what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust him come what may. Are those words to us? Or is that a way of life to us? That's something we're not neglecting. We have to do that. We have to. It's our reasonable service. And if we do this, we'll continue to build upon the precious promises of God. They're revealed in this present truth, you know, through the wonderful example that we had of our seventh messenger, to build upon it, and then to build upon further things. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Malachi 3:1. And also Colossians 1:9. And I will fill this house, the spiritual house, with glory, the glory of the divine nature, so we can be more than overcomers. And really, right now, develop the good works, really, of our character. That's really important today, because we see the other side of it, the lack of love and compassion and understanding. We should be filled with love, compassion, understanding, hope, joy. Hebrews 12:6-8. And we know that we have that faithful Heavenly Father who has said he's begun a good work in you, he'll finish it. You were planted in his likeness, you're growing as a tree, and he's going to let that work continue until it's finished. And he's going to provide you the best of the water, the best of the nourishment to be used in his service. So that we can be a footstep follower and then can truly become a tree of righteousness, growing in character like this, growing in devotion to the Heavenly Father come what may. Again, there's a condition that's implied. It is faithfulness. And he said, be ye faithful in little things, I'll grant you greater things. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll never fail us. I like that one writing I saw, and I forget what reprint, but the Lord God is never weary. He's never perplexed. He's never confused. He's never weak. We could be all those things, but he never is. So you seek to lean on him and you trust in him and you're revitalized. You're built up. You go on. And you can come to a meeting such as this tonight. And if you're a little tired or you're a little hurt or you're a little ill, your Holy Spirit, your mind is strong and vital and growing and being nourished. Just for putting forth the effort of seeking after him. And you're being blessed by it. And you'll obtain really more of that proper nourishment of what we need. And you'll be able to put out strong roots. You know, another thing is, the picture of the tree is the roots that you put out. And if you ever had your driveway kind of crack like I did one time, you'll know the strength of those roots. Very strong. And they grow deep, tapping into the precious promises, relying on his love. It sends out his roots long distances sometimes, especially in arid lands, to reach water. Over obstacles, under obstacles, through obstacles, to obtain this water and to obtain refreshment. And that's what we have to do. And he said that he'll help us to overcome all these obstacles that stand in our way. But we have to put forth an effort, diligently seeking after God's truth. Matthew 5:6. You know these words. Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Is that the end of the scripture? No. He's going to be filled. You're searching, you're hungering. After righteousness' sake, you're going to be filled. So we have that spreading forth of our roots, the personal study, the learning of his word, the preaching of the word, the doing of his word. And also, there are other times. And I like that example of we're seeking after God. Sometimes when we need it the most, in night watches, we need him. Maybe our heart's a little heavy laden. And we pour it out to him and he helps us. He gives us strength and encouragement to go on each day. And to have the sweet fellowship as we have. And a communion with him. Because not only can we have this communion, but we're yoke fellows with the dear Son. He said, I went this way before. When you have trials and circumstances and experiences, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And if you do this, welcome into the joys of your Lord. I like to quote this scripture that Brother Leonard Wessel, he calls it Formula 8:28. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. And really, this is an assurance of hope that Paul speaks of. Hebrews 6:11, and really the full assurance of faith in Hebrews 10:22. Paul said, I have fought that good fight of faith. Therefore, there are laid up for me treasures in heaven. And really, we want to have this proper heart attitude. Of course, we're relying on Him in all things, but we know that we have His love, and we have the love of the brethren that will sustain us through our experiences. So we should be putting forth as our leaves, as our fruit, expressions of great joy, and really this reverential thanksgiving to the Heavenly Father for the rest of heart that really only comes from knowing God as a true child of God can. Because the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Though he stumble, he shall not be broken. And therefore, it's really the scripture, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is our scripture. This is what we should be focusing on during the next couple of days. And if we do these things, we'll be blessed beyond our human comprehension. No, and through our life, of course, as we mentioned, there are hardships, there are trials. But again, count on all joy. If we were on a trip out the Northwest several years ago and we saw this huge tree on a railroad car, and it was at a national forest, so we had to stop. I like the outdoors and natural. This tree was huge. It was over 1,000 years old. But it had survived Mount St. Helens and so forth, but it was finally blown down in a windstorm. And they went like the pilgrims going, Columbus discovered the New World. It had all these timelines. It had like the 70s, the 80s, and finally it toppled. But you could look at the growth rings. You could see a narrower band. Of course, these rings were this big, but anyway. Smaller ones, bigger ones, times of drought, times of more water. Again, it's just reflective of our own life. But you know, the thing was, there was still growth. There was still growth taking place with that tree. And it has to be so in our lives. So, again, there's the effort. You study to show yourself acceptable. You put forth the effort. And there's going to be growth because He's not going to withhold any good thing if you are putting out your roots and seeking after those things. And we're really talking about this new mind that we have, and it's a consecrated mind. Going on daily to do our best, the best that we can, and giving our all, because that's really what we give, and that it's our reasonable service, and that's what we have to do. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be planted by the water, and spreadeth forth her roots by the river. Her leaves shall be green, and shall not cease from yielding fruit. So we see the next aspect really of this growth of a tree is bearing fruit. And it's really a very important aspect in any discussion of trees. John 15:4 really tells us that with respect to this bearing of fruit, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, the bearing of fruit cannot be accomplished except as we are related to Christ and His fruit is born in us by our relationship to Him. And really, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do this by remaining under the sprinkling of the blood, so that the wicked one touches us not. And then indeed, we can continue to grow and develop in a way pleasing to Him. And bring forth fruit unto God. Romans 7:4. The peaceable fruits of righteousness, as with this growth of a tree. These fruits really grow gradually. It could take a lifetime to have these mature. But we have to be doing that. And really, it's the fruits and grace of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. In Galatians 5:22-23. So, brethren, let us go on in our lives, continue to strive to trust in Him come what may. Let us develop the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. Let us be obedient. Let us go on and reach out to that rich storehouse of life and nourishment that the Father has for us. And then let's bring forth fruit in our lives and be an example and strive to be a living epistle, an example of one who dwells with God and knows Him. And plant those seeds of hope and encouragement, knowing that one day the world of mankind will take of that tree of life and live on a glorious, restored, and perfect earth forever. May the Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Mike, for Trees of Righteousness. Brother Mike chose for the closing hymn 135, Near the Cross. And on the last verse, remain standing, and Brother Mike will close us in prayer.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, Thou giver of every good and perfect gift, hallowed be Thy most holy and blessed name. Dear Father, we are indeed blessed and privileged that we have this opportunity to gather together in this convention with these dear ones of like precious faith. Bless each head bowed here before Thee, dear Father, and we're thankful to be here. Look forward to a season of fellowship and blessings and lessons from thy rich storehouse. Open up our eyes of understanding in this convention. We can take something away from it to apply to our daily lives and grow and develop in a way pleasing to thee. Dear Father, as we come before thee tonight, we're mindful of those in beds of sickness, those who are going through trials and circumstances, those who wish to be here but unable to be here. Be with them and keep them close to thee, and also the isolated ones, unable to meet with the brethren but are strong in the faith and trust in thee. We love them and we thank thee for their example, and again for this love that has been bestowed upon us. Give thy unbegotten Son, as we realize that through him are all things made possible. We thank thee for this love that binds us together as yoke fellows with thy dear Son and with thee. Help us to develop further the fruits and grace of the Holy Spirit, dear Father, that we can serve thee the best of our abilities and go on in our daily lives to let our light shine to those we come in contact with, to plant seeds of hope and encouragement for this groaning human family. We know that soon the sorrow and sighing, wars and troubles in this world will flee away, and all will know of thee from the least to the greatest. There will be a kingdom of peace and joy and safety forever. We thank thee again for these wonderful lessons from the Scriptures and for having our Holy Spirits to understand it and digest it and use it a way pleasing to thee. Dear Father, we now leave the remainder of this evening and convention thy care and keeping, asking also forgiveness for something we might have said or done amiss. Help us in our trials and experiences. We are weak and we need thee in many ways. Help us along those lines, we pray. Committing all now in thy care, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, our dear Lord and Savior. Amen.